Welcome back, everybody. This is Eric and Chad here with Iraq Veteran 8888. We've got another gun gripe episode for you today. This one's a doozy because it's definitely not something we want to report, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, and I believe that there's some important information that we'll put out in this video that we want you to be privy to. We hope you'll join us for a few minutes and we can go over it here. Definitely want to take a moment to thank the kind folks at SDI for supporting Gun Gripes, allowing these videos to come out raw, in your face, unfiltered, and straight from the heart, as we would only have it that way, of course. They have wonderful gunsmithing programs. If you're wanting to learn more about firearms technology, gunsmithing, reloading, they're a wonderful resource to look into. So check them out and use that GI Bill. Absolutely. So let's dive into this a little bit. You know, we've been following House Bill number 961, which of course is the assault weapons and suppressor ban. Well, it has at this point passed the House and has moved on to the Senate. And we knew that was going to happen. Now, a couple of Democrats did turn coat in the House and vote against party lines. Now, the light at the end of the tunnel was that in the Senate in Virginia, if one Democrat turns coat and if all the Republicans vote along party lines, as we call it, then in theory, they won't possess enough votes to pass the assault weapons ban, to actually pass 961. That's what we're hoping. All it takes is one Democrat to go to vote nay.
So that's what I heard.
To pressure them.
I'm trying to find the information on the Senate committee because the bill has to go to the Senate committee first and then the Committee on the Judiciary, and then it gets put on the Senate floor for a vote. But I haven't found anything yet on the Senate committee schedule. So if I find something, I will let you know down in the description box below. But this is very important because this bill, we went over this in detail in a past video, but this bill is your common assault weapons ban, okay? It requires you to surrender your assault weapons, okay, quote-unquote, your scary black rifles, okay? And then it has a total ban on suppressor ownership. So Virginia would become just like California, just like New York, just like other states that completely ban suppressors and other NFA items. You would have until a certain point in time to either transfer those items out of state to someone who can legally possess them, okay? And those people would incur a $200 tax and you'd be just out all of your money. There is no repayment for any of that stuff that you own. You will lose your property, okay? Or you can just turn it over to state law enforcement or local law enforcement to be disposed of, or you can render it inoperable, cut your suppressors in half. What a crock of bullcrap.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, absolute and utter draconian tyranny.
These bans completely ignore property rights. They completely ignore the concepts of search and seizure. And they completely ignore, obviously, the Second Amendment. And in many cases, Virginia has even put forth potential legislation that could quell your ability to even speak out against the things that the government is doing. Now, there are some other aspects of what's going on in Virginia that we're going to discuss in a future video. We won't get into that here because it involves the Electoral College and creating a popular vote. And basically what Virginia wants to do is throw all of their votes to the whatever the popular vote dictates. Of course they do. Of course they want to rewrite the playbook. Of course they want to rewrite the rules. Of course when they get control of the ship, they want to pass every draconian law they possibly can to maintain the control that they so desperately desire. That's really what all of this comes down to, is control, right? If an idea has to be enforced at gunpoint, is it really a good idea? So, yeah, maybe a good idea to you who wants to have the power that results from that idea. But when you have to have government goons to enforce your will at gunpoint, is it really what the people want at that point? Well, no, okay? The crux here is that there are many Democrats who are pro-gun, okay? I talk to many of them on a regular basis, and trust me, guys, I get it. You know, there are many ways that some folks feel from a social aspect that socially they're in a much different camp than the Republicans, okay? Maybe they have a different fiscal idea or a different social idea, but some of them are pro-gun, right?
Yep.
So I think that's where many ideas fall flat on their face because they think, oh, well, just because someone has the D next to their name, all of a sudden they have to be some horrible anti-gun person. Now, that usually rings true, like maybe 90% of the time, mm-hmm. but there is that sort of combat fog in there, right, that occurs. And I believe, I hope, that there's one Democrat somewhere in that Senate that is going to go, you know what, this is a terrible idea, and maybe vote for what's common and decent, or has a decency to it, right? Taking someone's property, that's not what decent people do.
No.
Infringing on people's rights, that's not what decent people do. So I'd like to think there's at least one Democrat, it only takes one Democrat to sway and go, you know what, I'm voting nay because this just isn't worth the hassle. Opening up Pandora's box, giving Pandora's, the key to Pandora's box to Northam is a terrible idea because you know he'll turn the key and open it right on up and everything that comes along with it.
What kills me is you look at the Second Amendment sanctuary movement in Virginia and you see the flood of pro-2A sanctuary counties that just voted to uphold, I'm losing my train of thought here, I'm thinking like numbers and crap. They voted to uphold Second Amendment constitutional protections in their counties. Local law enforcement and sheriffs such as that, you know, were behind all that. Okay, they said, we will not do anything to enforce unconstitutional state laws. That doesn't mean that the state police and all that crap aren't going to come down and enforce them. All right, and they've talked about that. They did not rule out a door-to-door confiscation of suppressors in a recent interview that I saw. So they didn't say they were going to do it. They didn't say they weren't going to do it. They just beat around the bush. Like, well, it's not law yet, but we will enforce the law.
They're not speculating yet.
So, but there's got to be Democrats in these districts, in these pro-2A sanctuary counties that realize that they're probably going to be out of a job depending on how they vote on these anti-gun bills.
Well, it needs to be clearly mentioned here that there are 2A sanctuary counties that voted blue.
Mm.
Okay. Now there's not many.
Yeah.
But maybe those reps, okay, that are in those counties that can be pressured enough.
Yep.
Right. To say, hey, you know, you guys voted to we made this place a 2A sanctuary county despite it being a blue county. You need to put pressure on those people. All it takes is one or two of them to vote nay. And of course we really are gonna assume, okay, that the Republicans are going to vote on party lines. As long as every Republican votes nay, and a few Democrats, one or two Democrats can vote nay, then we're out of the water. Barely out of the water, but out of the water, okay?
But there's still a fight in Virginia for sure because, I mean, they're going to have that majority for a good long while.
Yep.
But I can imagine that there's going to be a swing. After, I mean, just seeing all the support for gun rights and pro-freedom, you know, and just living and not being under draconian rule like Governor Newsom would, or not Newsom, listen to me. I've got California, Northam. Got California on the brain. He's another turd.
We have 50 fights going on right now, and they're all creating a complete whirlwind in our brains. So.
I want to like peel my skull open and scratch my brain sometimes. So much stuff. But there was something else that went on at the committee hearing that was quite troublesome. The state police that were there kicked folks out of the committee hearing after the vote was tallied and the assault weapons ban and the suppressor bans was going to go through to the House for a vote.
It went to the judiciary.
So it went to the House first, but the police there kicked people out of a public meeting space. Yeah, they were pissed. Yeah, they were causing a little bit of a ruckus, but were they inciting violence?
They have a right to assemble.
They do. And that was completely wrong on the police's part. And it was just wrong.
I feel like the more appropriate way to handle that would really have been, you know, look, you guys have a right to be here. And say what you need to say and make whatever statements you need to say. It just seems that if you were a policeman in that situation, why? It's just so horrible to do that to people. How can you look yourself in the mirror and consider yourself an American when you're doing that? You're not only infringing on the Second Amendment, and you're infringing on people's freedom of speech and their right to peacefully assemble and give that. I mean, that's why one of the reasons our country was even founded in the first place was for us to escape persecution, mm-hmm. for us to have the ability to assemble and speak our minds. So if that assembly is denied, then what does that say about the direction that our country's taken in terms of not only politics, but just liberty and livelihood, right?
Yep.
I mean, I get it. Cops have got to make a living. I understand. But you infringe on people's rights for a living. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's happy to see the flower delivery man. Everyone's happy to see the guy that delivers a cake to your house. How many people are happy to see the police when they show up? Now, unless you're one of these people that calls them all the time, most people don't want to talk to the police or see them, you know. And that's coming from somebody I know, tons of cops. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are good guys. But at the end of the day, they're in the business of infringing.
Yep.
That's what they do. That's their business. Their job is to infringe.
They might as well have had red coats on in that committee hearing. I mean, that's very, very draconian and tyrannical behavior.
It's terrible behavior, and it's not befitting of the uniform, and it's not befitting of the oath of office, oath of office, but the oath that you take to protect the Constitution. You know, as a public servant, your job is to defend the Constitution, and the Constitution is the ultimate law of the land. The Constitution supersedes every other law, everything that even acts in the color of law. That supersedes or goes against the Constitution is not a law, okay? It's just, it's terrible that people allow themselves to be put in that situation. And I feel for those people because I get it, you know? Like, you got to make a living, I understand. But I think at the end of the day, they're always going to do what they need to do to protect that paycheck. Mm-hmm. But now on the other end of the spectrum, you've got sheriffs in Virginia that have said, we ain't doing it. We're not enforcing unconstitutional legislation in our county. We are a Second Amendment sanctuary. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day, is the law enforcement going to stick together and they're just going to do what they need to do to protect their paycheck? Or are they really going to say, you know what, there are things more important than money. Honor is something that can't be bought, and my honor is not for sale. And that's the big question here, is how far will your hypocrisy go for a paycheck?
Yep. I mean, honor.
I can't blame someone for needing a paycheck.
Yep.
But I can blame someone for infringing on someone's rights for a paycheck.
Honor and duty to the people of your home state and the Constitution of the United States. That is the ultimate goal. That is what your job is to uphold those two things. You know, you owe it to the people that you serve to do the right thing. And following these draconian laws and just saying I'm following orders and going door to door and basically confiscating people's property for no due compensation, not good. Not good. But anyways.
Service is a strange thing because, you know, when you put your name on that dotted line, you're writing a blank check to the people. A blank check that could mean your life being given for them. And it's a tough thing to consider, you know? I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. You're writing a blank check to the people. And service is you're literally saying that you're going to put all things aside in service of life, liberty, and country, and the Constitution. And to live by that is not a small undertaking. It goes well beyond just putting on a uniform or putting on a badge or putting on, you know, or earning that paycheck. I mean, don't get me wrong, we got to earn a paycheck. But at the end of the day, though, your honor is something that will never be bought. You earn that. And to let it go away just for something as small as a simple paycheck for money? No. I'd walk away. I'd put my badge on the table, say, see ya. I'm out. There's other ways to make money.
These assault weapons bans and things like this have been proven time and time again not to affect criminal activity in the slightest. All they do is infringe on lawful gun owners' rights, okay? And I think that the police's time would be better served actually doing a job that is worth doing and not wasting time on stuff like this that just infringes on people's rights that has no bearing on reducing crime whatsoever. We saw that back in 1994. The crime bill, the assault weapons ban from 94, the Clinton crime bill, it was in effect for 10 years. It did absolutely nothing. And what did we get out of it? Gun-free zones? Yeah, that's done real well. Real well. But I will say one group that I'd like to just point out in Virginia that's been doing a hell of a lot as far as advocacy goes for especially the suppressor side is ASA, the American Suppressor Association. Guys, they've been doing a ton. They've been taking in money.
Good job, Knox.
Yeah, they've been taking in money from folks and putting their money where their mouth is and really trying to fight this. They were one of the headliners at the committee hearing defending, you know, Virginians' right to own suppressors, you know. So just want to give them a special shout out and thanks. And, you know, we support them here. And it's just the Virginia Citizens Defense League, GOA, yeah. Any of those organizations, gun policy, they are out there
100%
fighting at the grassroots level every day, 24/7.
I would like to also give a shout out in this video, and I feel like this is really important. Okay, so we're fired up, right? We're angry about this, okay? We should be angry because anything that infringes on our rights is terrible, and we should not support it. So what can we do, right? And we always talk about, yes, we agree on how bad of an idea this is. Well, what can we do? Well, obviously, all those Democrats that could be on the fence, you need to be contacting them and expressing your concerns. That's important. There's also some rallies going on, and I'd like to give some special recognition to a couple of Instagram folks here that I've been talking to on and off, and I feel like it's really important to give these guys credit where it's due, and gals. Mm-hmm. If you're on Instagram, go over and follow Stilettos and Shotguns. Carrie is a great friend of mine, and she's got some really unique perspective. She is a domestic violence survivor, and she's got a lot of really fresh perspective. And she is totally worth following and giving her a chance to, you know, I'm going to have her on a gripe and maybe we'll let her tell her story. Mm-hmm. And it's very touching and people need to know. More people need to know about it. But also, I hope I say this right. Trijiconch. Trijiconch.
So,
Trijiconch.
Conch.
Trijiconch.
I think.
Okay. Yes. Trijiconch. Now, he is instrumental in putting together a lot of the stuff that happened in Virginia. He was instrumental in helping put together the rally that we helped promote as well. So, you know, we promoted it. Lots of other people promoted it. But Trijiconch did a great job of doing that. So go over there and follow him on Instagram. He's a great dude. All right. He has organized a rally at Crockett Park in Fauquier County. Make sure you go check it out. It's a Second Amendment rally Saturday, February 29th, okay, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Crockett Park, okay? So if you guys are nearby or even if you're a close drive away, go support and check it out. There's going to be speakers there. I think the Man Spot is showing up. He's another Instagram page you should be following. Really, really great dude with a ton of humorous things he posts as well. So I don't know how involved many of you are on Instagram, but go follow those Instagram pages because they are great people and they're doing a lot to fight for not only Virginians, but many states' battles, right? And I know Carrie has been going around and making as many appearances and speeches as she can at every single rally that she can possibly get to. I've been trying to go and cover every rally I possibly can. I can't get to everyone, guys, but I am trying my best. Trust me, we are doing the absolute best job that we physically can to the best of our ability. So much of this stuff, look at this, comes across our desk. Look at all these gun gripes we have to make. I'm honored to make these gun gripes. I love to make them because I feel it's important to get the word out and to show solidarity with other gun owners across the country. I know Virginia's been a hot button item. Everyone's expecting this kettle to boil over. Trust me, I'm one of those people who's thinking, oh, what the heck is going on here? What's gonna happen? But we can't treat it like that. It doesn't need to be treated like this redheaded stepchild that we're going, all right, well, let's just wait till they misbehave again. We've got to show solidarity. If you're in a nearby state and you can go to these rallies, try to go and show support because just like we saw in Kentucky, there were people that drove over from Virginia to go support the Kentucky rally because the Kentucky citizens supported them. Mm-hmm. We have to support each other and show that solidarity. And we have to show the anti-gunners that we mean business and that our rights are not for sale. Our rights are not given by men, and they're not intended at all to even be changed or infringed on by men either. Okay, so just like men didn't give us those rights, men aren't going to write rules to infringe on them either, and we're not going to allow it to happen.
And they're not to be used as a bargaining chip or for negotiation, you know, for so-called compromise, which we never get anything from. So that's not compromise.
There is no compromise in regards to something that man didn't give you in the first place. So I've said my piece, and I think we're going to move on, but we have many more gripes on the way. Lots of important stuff. Please check out the rally on the 29th. I can't be there, but I'll be there in spirit. Carrie will be there, and I know Tridge and all the guys will be there. The Man Spot will be there. Go check them out. Show your support. And more importantly as well, that's important too, but in regards to 961, contact your reps. Find those Democrats that are on the fence and pressure them to vote nay.
I'll put a website down below for the Senate Judiciary Committee. You can see the members of that committee there, and you can contact them directly from there. Also, we have a rally info and update text service that we started up. So if you text 1776 to 31996, right down here somewhere, okay, text that. You won't get spammed. No bullcrap. Only rally updates and info all across the country so you can keep up with what's going on.
Yep. So. And look, the texts are free. They do not cost you anything to sign up for the text service. We do have to pay some fees in order to send the texts out, and we are limited on the amount of texts we can send. So understand that the text will be kind of simple, and it'll give the state and the date and some basic info, and then you'll just have to research a little further. But it's just mainly to give you kind of an alert.
Mm-hmm.
We're sending out as many texts as we can and trying to keep the information short, concise, and pertinent. So please sign up. It's free, and everything's good to go. Mm-hmm. We'll get the text out to you. Thank you so much for the support, guys. Those of you who support us on Patreon, if you purchase Man Cans or subscribe to Man Cans as well, or if you purchase t-shirts over on Ballistic Ink,
the Russian oil change.
That's right, and that's our most successful design, is the original Rebel Alliance, okay? All the funds we earn off of any of those type of outlets go right back into supporting the channel. And I've gotten a few patrons reach out and say, hey, we feel like you don't ever engage with us on Patreon. I apologize. I'm trying my best to remain engaged and focused in the fight, whether it's creating gun gripes or other gun content, or posting things on IG or over on Facebook, and now we're on Parler. Follow us on Parler if you want. Guys, we're trying to stay super focused. Don't think we're ignoring you. We care deeply about our Patreon supporters, and we really appreciate what you guys do for us. And I say that in every video, and I mean it. We really appreciate you guys, and I'm going to try my best to create more content and engage with you guys, but I apologize. I've been distant. It's not that I'm ignoring you. We're just really, really focused on what we're trying to get accomplished, and we appreciate you supporting that directly. So thank you. Many more videos on the way. We'll see you soon.
See you guys.